Welcome to the podcast of Mosaic Church, celebrating diversity within community.
We're going to be in Matthew 17. So if you remember last week, and I'm just going to read those 14 verses. But if you remember last week, the disciples, specifically a small handful, experienced something with Jesus that they were not expecting. If you remember, they go up on a mountain, just the three, John, his brother James, and Peter. Those are the first three that we see in Matthew that were called by Jesus out of the fishing scenario and said, hey, come follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. And so those three go with Jesus up on this mountainside, and what happens? Jesus transforms right in front of their eyes. It says he turns white, as bright as the light. And with Jesus, while Jesus is transformed right there in front of them, they also see Moses and Elijah appear, and they're talking with Jesus. If you remember, Peter said, God, it's good for us to make some tabernacles. Let's do something here, which was a normal Jewish response. It would have made sense. And in the midst of that, they heard something from God. And that's just where I'm going to pick up and read, because I don't want to mess it up. But in verse 5, while still speaking with them, suddenly a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him, which is the call that comes to us all. This is the Messiah, the chosen King. This is God's Son. Listen to him. And then Jesus, verse 7, Jesus came up and touched them. It said, get up and don't be afraid. And when they looked up, they saw nobody. So Elijah, Moses is gone. The voice in that cloud's gone. They don't see or hear anything. They just see Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, don't tell anyone about this vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. So the disciples asked him, why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Elijah is coming and will restore everything, he replied. But I tell you, Elijah has already come. And they didn't recognize him. On the contrary, they did whatever they pleased to him. And in the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer in their hands. And the disciples understood he had spoken to them about John the Baptist. So this kind of sets the stage for what we get this week. And so it continues. Verse 14, when they reached the crowd, a man approached and knelt down before him. Lord, he said, have mercy on me. On my son, because he has seizures and suffers terribly. He often falls into fire and often into water. I brought him to your disciples and they couldn't heal him. And Jesus replied, you unbelieving and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And then Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of the boy. And from that moment, he was healed. And then the disciples approached Jesus privately and said, why couldn't we drive it out? Verse 20, Jesus replies, because of your little faith, he told them. For truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain to move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And then some translations add this. But this kind of demon can only come out by prayer and fasting. So, Jude, did our version have that in there? Okay, I was just curious. One version of Holman Christian Standard does and one doesn't. I didn't know which we had up there. So, before we start, are there any comments, questions, observations, confusions? Wow. That's a good question, Mary. So Mary's question was, what do I think the purpose of the transfiguration was? I don't know. Unless it was just the only thing I can think, this is just me just top of my head. The only thing I can think is just what had just happened in the chapter before. Yeah.
Telling us they were somewhere here that will not die before they see the kingdom.
Well, there was that. And then right before that, Peter declares Jesus was the Messiah, the chosen king. And then Jesus makes that declaration. You're blessed because you didn't get this from your own wisdom, but from my Father who revealed it to you. Maybe that was just a confirmation for them to be able to see, like, this is not normal. This isn't just a guy who was saying some good things that God was working with. That had happened before, right? Elijah, Moses, Elisha, King David, King Solomon. I mean, even some of the other kings that weren't so good, we still see God work through. And we even see God work through Nebuchadnezzar, who was a pagan king. And so they had seen God work through men. Maybe this was an opportunity for God to say, this isn't just a man. This is something different. This isn't just a man that I've given some unique powers and abilities to, but this is my chosen son. Maybe it was just God's way to confirm that with him. I do not know the. That's a good question.
Well, to that end, I mean, Jesus recognized that that was something specific that they were struggling with, because it was not like three verses after Peter had said, you are the Christ, that Peter got it wrong.
Right.
And then Jesus followed that with some more difficult teachings, like, you're going to have to take up your cross and make some sacrifices in order to follow me. So if he got it wrong the first time, you could see how that might.
Yeah. Right.
So you might want to make sure that they get it right at that point. So I think you might be right on the confirmation idea.
Yeah, and what did Peter got it. So what Colin mentioned was maybe that was confirmation, because they had gotten it wrong right after Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Yeah. Well, and that would be a jarring moment, right? But it also, more than seeing Jesus change, what did they do? They heard God audibly. So this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. I think the key phrase is the next line. Listen to him. Because that was where they were struggling. Like, it wasn't like enjoying the miraculous things and all the accolades and the people wanting to come and see and them being chosen. All that was good, but listen to him. He's telling you what's about to happen. He's telling you why it's got to happen. Maybe it was just for God to confirm that. That's a great question, though, Mary. That probably is one we should have addressed last week. So thank you for that. So in light of that, anything from this section, from this week, that we want to bring out or mention or ask questions about? Well, it's interesting. Feel free at any moment to speak out. But it is interesting that right after we see this, they go into a crowd and then business as usual, right? This is what had been happening with Jesus everywhere he went. People heard the name. They brought people to him. They wanted to be healed. Can you imagine this happening today, right? I mean, how many people would they be bringing? You know, maybe even in hospital beds. Whatever means they could get this guy, everybody he sees is getting healed. I mean, there are many scriptures, even so far in the 17 verses of Matthew, where it says, and he healed everybody. Everybody in that region was healed. They brought all the sick to him. He healed them all. If that was happening, can you imagine what that would look like? I mean, there would be a line of hospital beds down the road, right? They'd probably be begging them, hey, can you come to the hospital? Because there's people we can't get out, you know, because they need to be on, you know, hooked up or whatever. I mean, it'd be unbelievable. There was like so much hope wrapped up in Jesus, and this dad brings it to him and says, can you help? Because I've asked your disciples, could they help? And they couldn't do it. And what was Jesus' response? It wasn't probably quite what we wanted it to be. I mean, it was ultimately the guy's son was healed. But there was a bit of a rebuke in that, wasn't there? One of the questions I had was, who was he talking to in that moment? Was he talking to the disciples, or were he talking to the dad? And Colin brought out in our Bible study Wednesday that this, that in the same story, was it Luke or the guy where it was recorded like help my unbelief? Was that Luke's version?
Mark's
version. So when this story pops up in Mark, the dad goes a little bit further and he's like, I don't believe. He said, I do believe you can do it, but help my unbelief. Like, where I have unbelief, help me. And I think that's a great prayer. That's a great prayer for us all to kind of remind ourselves of, because how many of us, when we pray for anything, there's some doubt creeping in the back of our head. Maybe not that God can do it, but if God would do it. Because how many people have we seen that weren't healed, that we prayed for? And there's this doubt that creeps in our mind. And so that dad, in Mark's version, says, help where I do have unbelief, which is an amazing prayer. But he comes to Jesus and says, can you help my boy? He had some form of mental illness. I'm sorry.
No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a scary thought. And we're going to get there to that faith thing, because I think that's a big part of this scripture, more so than Jesus' rebuke. But he does look at him and says, you have little faith. Like, what's wrong with your faith? I think, in my opinion, he was talking to the disciples. That's my opinion. Right, because as far as we know, we don't know the faith of this guy. We don't know, was he Jewish? We imagine he was, but we don't know, because they were in a region at this point that had both. So he may not have been Jew. He may have been a Gentile. He may not have been looking for the Messiah. He may have just heard, hey, there's a guy who's healing people. And he's like, I'm desperate. My boy's having these fits. It's often throwing him to fire and water, almost killing him. Like, I'll do anything. Like, we don't know the faith of the dad. I think Jesus was talking to the disciples. Do you remember what happened 7 chapters earlier with the disciples in Matthew 10? There was this interesting story where Jesus calls the disciples together. He says, hey guys, I want you to go out in pairs. You remember this? And when you go out, don't take money with you. If someone accepts you into their house, go. If someone doesn't, shake the dust from your feet and move on. And then as you go out, just heal the sick and raise the dead. Drive out demons and come back and tell us about it. And if you remember, there's another story in Luke chapter 11 where they did something similar, but with 70. And if you remember, like, they come back celebrating everything that God did, bragging basically about what God did. And you remember Jesus told them, hey, don't celebrate that the demons listen to you. Celebrate that your name's written in the book of life. Okay? That's what Jesus said. Hey, don't worry about this. But they went out and did it. We get the sense, because Jesus commissioned them, when you go out, heal the sick and raise the dead and drive out the demons, we imagine those things happened through these guys who were not educated. They hadn't spent too terribly long. Now they've spent even longer amounts of time with Jesus. And here they are. And you can imagine Jesus was saying, did you not learn anything during that time? Like, where's your faith in this? You've seen me work. You've seen me prove myself. How little is your faith? I will tell you, this resonates. Because there have been times in my life where I've been in prayer for something. I mean, there's been times where financially it was like, oh, we're going to need God to show up. And he did. And he was faithful. I didn't get, Janis Joplin song? I didn't get a new Mercedes-Benz, but God met the needs that I had. I didn't get a mansion, but I tell you what, there's people around the world who believe that I live in a mansion. compared to what they have, and God had met my needs. There was a time where I was a business owner during COVID, and I didn't know what was going to happen. And God was faithful, more than faithful. And even today, when I have those little moments where it's like, oh, I could see some things changing financially or whatever, I'll freak out. And I can hear Jesus saying, you have little faith. Do you not remember what happened in Matthew 10? Do you not remember what happened 7 chapters ago when I met your needs, when I allowed you to do this? And here you come in this with such little faith. Did you not learn anything? And then he looks, and after he heals the boy, God is gracious in this moment and heals this little boy. And after he heals him, he turns to the disciples. Or the disciples actually came to Jesus privately, right? They didn't want to get rebuked in front of everybody. Strategic move on their part. Let's go talk to him privately so we don't look like dunces. Why couldn't we do this? And Jesus answered him, hey, if you had faith as small as a mustard seed. Now, have we heard about mustard seeds yet from Matthew? Yeah, remember? Just a couple of chapters ago, I think it was 14, may have been 13, Jesus said, consider the mustard seed. It's the smallest of all the seeds, is the way Jesus described it. But yet, when it's planted, it dies, and then it gives, and then it comes back to life, and it gives light, and it gives shelter, and it gives homes to the birds of the air, and it gives shade. He's brought this mustard seed before. It says the smallest of all the seeds, and then Jesus brings it up again right here and says, if you had faith just that small, you could say to this mountain, move, and it would be moved. Right? That's a little bit of a paraphrase. I've lost my place. For truly I tell you, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you will tell this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So there is this piece in there. There's this key. I think of it like the, when I used to watch the old, like Three Stooges or any of the old black and white movies, they would have the skeleton key, remember? And it opened like a lot of doors if you had this thing. I remember playing video games when I was a kid. If you find the skeleton key, you can open up pretty much anything. I remember being in a house. My granddad owned a house that his insurance agency was in, but this house was built in like the 30s, and it had those keys in it. And one would open up all the doors, and Jesus is basically saying, this faith, this thing, it didn't have to be large. It can be that small. It's enough to make everything possible for you. She said, nothing will be impossible for you. We want to live lives where things are possible. And Jesus has given us the key, the skeleton key, the master key right here to answer it all. And that's faith, even as small as a mustard seed. You can imagine how the disciples would feel in that moment. To hear the master tell them, the one they've been training with for years at this point, tell them, you don't even have faith as small as a mustard seed. What's wrong with you? And I feel like I've heard that before in my own life. Maybe that's just my voice repeating the scripture, but it feels like, it's like, do you not have faith to trust and to believe? It seems like that's the thing that switched when we read these stories from Peter and a whole lot of others, right? The stories from Matthew 16 where Jesus rebukes Peter, the stories from Matthew 26 when Peter is rebuked again, or not rebuked, but he basically denies Jesus and Jesus tells him he's going to deny them. Like, Peter didn't get it, but then you go and read 1 Peter and 2 Peter and read about the faith and the belief and trust in Peter, 1 Peter 3:1, or maybe it's 4:1. 1 Peter 4:1 even says, hey, the person who is, therefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same understanding, because the one who suffers in the flesh is finished with sin. Peter has learned some lessons. We get the sense that Peter's just kind of walking at this point by faith, trusting wholly in God because he's learned and he's seen. What's the key difference between Peter here in Matthew 16, 17 and Peter who's writing the letter down the road? What significant event has happened specifically around Acts? There you go, around Acts 2. The Holy Spirit has now come. Not only are they hearing Jesus say it, but God is working in them through the Holy Spirit and changing who they are. I'm a firm believer that we can now still pray that prayer. That dad said to Jesus, as Mark recorded, it says, help my unbelief. I believe we can pray that now to God through his Spirit. God, I have doubts. I acknowledge them. I don't want to. I have faith, but maybe it's not big enough. Help my unbelief. Last weekend, Natalie's down in Lexington. Ben's playing in a soccer tournament. Jude came back home with me. Amelia stays down there. Amelia gets an ear infection that night. It starts raging, right? She's screaming. Natalie is having trouble consoling her. I've been there. I remember once being about 12 years old and getting an ear infection. I mean, I didn't remember the ones I had as a baby, obviously, but 12 years old, I remember it. And I remember how horrible that felt. And nothing could satisfy it. And this is a little 8-year-old girl is in that moment who maybe tends more towards the dramatic at times. But it's painful, and she's screaming, and I feel helpless because I'm up here. I can't do anything about it. Natalie's in a hotel room with one kid that's trying to get some rest because they got a soccer game in the morning. The other kid wished they could rest, but they can't because they're pain. And I remember praying 200 miles away for God to take the pain away. Probably not 200, not quite that. But I remember praying however many miles away that God would take that pain away. And then I remember feeling doubt as I prayed that. And this is before the scripture. I wouldn't even focus on this. I was focused on the transfiguration last week. But I remember praying, and then finally I just acknowledged, like, I do feel like I have, like, a lack of faith in this. But I was like, I don't have a lack in faith that you can do it, God. And so I'm asking that you would. Whether you do or not is up to you. I pray that you would. Because I felt like all I was doing was repeating the same words. I was having a flashback to Matthew 6 where Jesus says, what are you doing? Just repeating the same bunch of words? That's what the pagans do. This is your father you're speaking with. With him, you can come quite simply. And so I just, in that moment, decided I wasn't going to keep. I was just going to pray, God, I know you can. I'm asking you would. What you do is up to you. And Natalie told me the next day, and I don't know that it was necessarily because of my prayer. I know Natalie was praying. There may have been other people that she had told who was praying. But I will say Amelia slept through the night. I woke up feeling a little better the next day. And then got home and realized she had an ear infection because now we looked in her ears and we got her on some antibiotics. But the pain did go away. I don't know that that had to do with that. I have no clue how God works. But I'm thankful he allows us to come to him and pray. And what I do believe and what I do know is what he's telling the disciples right here. If your faith is this small, nothing can be impossible or nothing will be impossible for you. Jesus, looking at his disciples, haven't you learned anything from Matthew 10? Why isn't your faith not like that? It should actually be bigger, right? But here's the secret, and this is where Jesus is driving his disciples to. It isn't the size of the faith that's important. What is important is the God that you believe in. The smallest prayer to the one true God will produce great things. The most elaborate devotions to a God of our own making, to a God of our own ideas or our own thinking. I have friends who are really into New Age and they're praying to the universe and they're doing all this stuff. And it's like, you can, if it's not pointed in the right direction, it's going to be fruitless. There's this beautiful illustration that N.T. Wright had in his commentary that talked about, yeah, you can look at the moon outside of a window and it looks great. But if it's on the wrong side of the house, it doesn't matter. If it's pointing the wrong direction, it doesn't matter because you're not going to see the moon. But you can have a slit in a crack in a wall on the right side of the house and still see that same moon. It didn't have to do with how big the opening was. Right? He was given this word picture of a barn. You have a barn with a big window, a big beautiful window, and see the moon through it. It's glorious and big and beautiful. But if it's not facing the right direction, you're not going to see anything. But you could go over to a slit in the wall in that barn and see that same beautiful moon. So it didn't matter how big the opening was, is that it was pointed in the right direction. That was going to the right God, to the right thing. We often put our faith in the wrong things. Sometimes in us or in the ways we pray, right? Or in whatever it is. And God's saying, all you got to do is put your faith in me, and it doesn't matter how big it is. It can be accomplished. Nothing can be impossible. That's what I want for my life. That's what I want for us. It's for nothing at all to be impossible. Are there any other comments before we pray? Well, join me as we pray to this God who makes all things possible. God, we are thankful that not only do you hear our prayers, not only do you answer our prayers in the ways that you do, God, but you allow us to have a part in it. You allow us to pray. You allow us to lay hands. You actually instruct us to do those things. God, may you help us to remember. Just like you were calling the disciples to remember what happened when you sent them out. We have those moments where we freak out. May we remember your faithfulness in our lives. May we remember, like the Israelites who would look at those 12 stones set up on the other side of the Jordan and remember your faithfulness, God, may we also hear and know and trust your faithfulness. May we have faith, no matter how small it is, God, may it be oriented towards you. Help us to remember all the times you've been faithful and not shrink in fear or anxiety, but be bold in our prayers. We love you, God. In your name, we pray. Amen. If you're able, I invite you to stand. If you're joining us online, under the notes section, there is the Apostles' Creed. I'd invite you to say these out loud, even if you're online and by yourself. Say these words out loud as a proclamation of just some general things that we believe is true about who God is and what God has come to do. Starting with this, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information, please visit us at www.mosaiceasley.org.